and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the third album from a band from Wales called The Bug Club. The album is called On the Intricate Inner Workings of the System, and it starts with a song called War Movies. As I mentioned, this is their third album, but it's their first album for Sub Pop, and the full title is On the Intricate Inner Workings of the System by Means of Popular Music, or The Contemplation of Pretty Faces, Tin Bubbles, and Strife. Whew. We found out about this band because of our friend Tony from Wales told me about them like a year ago, and I listened to the last album, which was called Rare Birds, and there are a lot of spoken word elements, and the songwriting didn't feel like it was quite there to me, but I understand they have a fantastic live show, and that's how they got, you know, a lot of fans over the past couple of years that they've been as a working band. And then this album, I think, really nails it with the songwriting and the energy and kind of all of the elements coming together.
Yeah, what I appreciate is they're just having so much fun, even from having the most overwrought, lengthy, pretentious album title. And you think like, oh, this is going to be a slog. And then you hop in and it's what, 11 songs, comes in under 30 minutes. So these songs are all under 3 minutes. A lot of them are barely 2 minutes. And they have this great comment where they, unfortunately, their drummer, Dan Matthew, left after this record was recorded. And so they've had these fill-in drummers come in for live shows. And they keep saying, these bars are weird. They're all half things. And then the songwriters, Sam Wilmett and Tilly Harris, said, well, it's been nipped off for getting boring. Like, these just, like, don't overdo it. Keep the song short. Just stick to what's good.
And all killer, no filler.
Really the case here. And I love, though, the wittiness of a song that's about war movies. And then we get that bridge where it's just rattling off a series of movie titles. And then finishing with, like, here's a bunch of movie titles that have bridge in them as we're finishing up the bridge. It's very self-referential in the best way.
Yeah, everything is super witty and just so tight. They've apparently been playing 200 shows a year in the UK and the area around, although they are coming to San Francisco in October at the Kilowatt, which is a very tiny venue and you should definitely come see. But they've really, you can tell they've been playing together a lot and just honing their chops, so everything is super tight.
Yeah, they're from Caldecott, Wales, which is a small town, but it's actually quite close both to Cardiff, Wales, and to Bristol, England, which has a huge music scene. So they're able to get that kind of small town quirk, but yeah, they have access to a ton of places to play shows.
So the next song is called Quality Pints. Quality Pints, Quality Pints, Quality Pints in your town. Quality Pints, we're drinking Quality Pints, we're drinking Quality Pints in your town. I'm thirsty for a quality pint, do you serve Quality Pints in your town? We heard you serve a quality pint, do you serve Quality Pints in your town? Quality Pints, Quality Pints, Quality Pints in your town. Quality Pints, we're drinking Quality Pints, we're drinking Quality Pints in your town.
continuing with their positioning of this record. This was the first single, and I love that probably the silliest track on an album that is frequently silly, even as it also rocks super hard. This really stands out because it is just this repetitive, cheerful, and seemingly, I can't quite tell whether how much of it is sincerely like, yeah, we like a place that serves beers, and also people who are just want to get a good beer and don't actually care anything else about the town. There's layers of irony, and it's, I don't even know quite where I stand, but it's very fun.
It's very silly, but yet the musicianship is so great. And, you know, they lost their drummer, and so they've just been having friends drum on the different records, as you mentioned earlier. But whoever is doing the drumming on this is still just, like, so tight. And then when the tambourine comes in, and it's just, like, it revs up the song, and everything about it is just perfect.
Yeah, I do think this is the last record with their original drummer, or because the timing of the announcement of him leaving, I think, was March.
Got it.
And given that they were already starting to drop singles from the record in like May,
got it.
Pretty sure it was already recorded before he left. But,
well, it's too bad because he's great on this record.
No, it's not showy, but yeah, lots of just fun energy. And again, I'm glad that, you know, we're catching them. They seem to be on the upswing. Tons of hype from various publications, and obviously getting signed to Sub Pop is huge, but it's a short US tour. I think they're only doing 5 dates, mostly on the West Coast. So San Francisco's lucky to get one of them. And the Kilowatt, which is, you know, was for quite a while just a bar. And so
they never gave up their live music license. I think it's a cabaret license you have to have. And so they've brought live music back in the past couple of years.
Yeah. But pretty genius. They held on to it, but it feels to me still more like just seeing a band play in a bar than going to a music venue. And so this seems like, I'm looking forward to hearing this song when they play it in that bar.
So the next song is called Pop Single.
40 pounds of premium art. Don't come cheap, honey. Write the check, tear it up, hand it over to
absolute pleasure. Section for the dancers to twirl. La 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 la. And we even changed the key. 3 minutes, that's all it takes to look this pretty. What a shame I'm to blame.
The ironic wit of this song, where you're writing a song that's about writing a pop single and all of the elements are, you're doing them as you're singing about them, could come across really a little bit too smarmy, or could fall flat, but it's such a catchy song and it really is a good pop single. And the elements of like the 60s, like, ooh, backing vocals that come in, like it all comes together to make it really charming and successful.
Yeah, except it is very anachronistic, but it's just this reminder of like, oh yeah, this is what pop music was 60 years ago. And this is not, if you were trying to make money, and of course there's an entire verse about like, write the check, tear it up, hand it over for obsolete pleasure. And like, oh yeah, this is, they're writing this pop single and also acknowledging, yeah, this isn't actually what sells anymore. And they didn't make it a single on their own song, on their own album, but it's still so fun.
But Sam Wilmot has talked about how he just writes these songs very quickly. And there's an interview where he's quoted as saying something like, you know, you make a hot cup of tea and then try and finish the song before the tea gets cold. And it's talking about not fussing over things too much, but it also is indicative of someone who just has a lot of creative talent and is able to just come up with these songs off the top of his head.
Yeah, and squeeze a lot into them without them ever feeling forced. like we have that entire like crazy, it gets really noisy, and that towards the end of that verse we heard, and then the silly instrumental, and all these elements come together, and it's still all under 3 minutes. It's so insane. And of course the song mentions 3 minutes, that's all it takes. And they prove that here.
A lot of these songs are jokey enough that they, if the songs weren't written so well, they wouldn't, it would be a little bit much. But they nail that in between space just right.
So we go from this song about writing a pop single to actually the last single on the record, and it's also ridiculous. It's called A Bit Like James Bond. Everybody thinks they look a bit like James Bond. Everybody thinks they look a bit like James Bond. Everybody thinks they look a bit like James Bond. James Bond ain't any kind of role model. I collect homebies and commemorative stamps, and there's something James Bond about that. Incredibly propulsive, silly, and a fantastic showcase for, I know we talked about Sam Wilmette and Tilly Harris being co-songwriters, co-vocalists, but Sam Wilmette is the primary guitarist, and he's able to bring such like dirty sounds that are really pretty. These all sorts of noise and weird kind of discordant overtones. And so it's an incredibly rich guitar sound that is simultaneously unsettling and very pleasurable to hear. And here they give him the chance. It's what, again, another under 3 minute song, 40 second guitar solo. Yeah, 40 second guitar solo in a song that's what, like 2 minutes and 40 seconds. It's kind of crazy, but it's also a complete blast. And the propulsive energy of that weighed against all of these ridiculous, yeah, I'm just like James Bond. I'm gluten intolerant. I drive a Passat.
Collecting stamps. And we had to look up what collecting Hornsby's is, and it's model trains.
Yeah. He sounds like a really cool dude.
Yeah. And I think this song is a good example of how there's so much repetition in all of these songs, but they vary them in ways that are interesting. And in this song, you know, in the second verse, there's the really bouncing bass line that comes in more prominent in the production. And then they change their phrasing a little bit. And each repetition like brings something new to the song. And I think that's what keeps them from feeling monotonous.
Yeah, if there's any consistency on this, it's so many of the songs start with the chorus, mm-hmm. which is another way I think of them. Like, yeah, we're getting right to business. This mm-hmm. is our approach. We're going to just jump in head first and go for it. And it's so fun. And yeah, this was a great last single, I think. Just this is the highest energy, amazing guitar work, amazing bass work, as you commented, and hilarious.
And the next song comes right in. You said it. They start with the chorus as in like, here's what we're about. This next song starts with a part that always makes me laugh, and it's called We Don't Care About That.
Blah, 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 blah. Something about books. Did you see the petrol prices? I'm totally shook. We don't care about that.
We don't care about that.
unrequited love.
This is another song that could come off being snarky, but it's just so self-aware and funny that, you know, the things that the young guy stuff that the speaker supposedly cares about, things like unrequited love and Lieber and Stoller, who are apparently the songwriters for Elvis and a lot of 50s songs.
Yeah, and into the 80s. That's a fun Wikipedia page. Like, holy crap, they were really prolific. But, and don't forget the Street Magic, which mm-hmm. is super cool young guy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I the charm of that, and then these almost spoken word sections, which, you know, it's to be reminded of other bands is a thing. But in fact, just over the water in Bristol, our friends in the Squid band, their singer Ollie Judge has such a similar delivery. And this is just reminding me, though, of that. That was a band that was so kind of fun and self-aware, and I think started taking themselves too seriously at a certain point. And this is just like, oh, what could have been if Squid had just had a little more of a sense of humor.
Well, I mean, it's also completely different music.
Yeah, but the delivery of like that style could have been channeled into music that is fun and silly and still dense. Like, there's still amazing guitar work here. After each Young Guy stuff, there's a second Young Guy. So we heard the first of two Young Guy stuffs in this song. And each time you get this pretty blistering guitar solo, a little sample after the first one, and then super extended in the second one, to the point where, in fact, the song just kind of turns into a minute-long guitar solo before ending.
Yeah, these songs, the production is really varied, and this, I like how this one, the guitar is a much more kind of rockabilly style and a more clean production. The album was recorded at Rat Trap Studios in Cardiff by Tom Rees of the band Buzzard, 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 of whom I have not heard.
I feel like I'd maybe heard the band name, but also just a single word repeated a bunch of times seems like such a band name trope that I might be confusing them with others.
But yeah, there's a lot of variation in the production too that makes these songs not seem uniform. Like, you could hear them blowing through them in a live set, but also on the record you can hear each song has a different feel.
Yeah, I feel like it's clean while still capturing that live show energy, which is, I think, what I want from most records, but especially a kind of, you know, classically rock and roll sounding band like this.
Yeah, it's very garage rock with great melodic sensibilities. So the next song we'll play also has great melody, and it's called Lonsdale Slip-Ons.
Back in my school, back in the day, back to the future again. Do you like dancing? Slip on your Lonsdale slip-ons and sway and sway and sway and sway just like that.
So this song was the second single, and it was phrased as a tribute to the UK's worst ever shoes.
Yeah, we asked our friend Tony from Wales, who was the one we heard about the Bug Club from, what is the connotation of Lonsdale slip-ons? Because I didn't get it. And he said it's the white trash footwear of Britain. So I think of it maybe like Crocs, where it's like they're very popular, but also you shouldn't wear them.
They're probably very comfortable. And they look kind of like what a uncool person's idea of cool is, I guess. I don't know. But apparently they're great for dancing, because this song just has such a great... the word I kept using was slinky, which is weird, right? Because that guitar line is so percussive, and yet it has this real playfulness. And then it drops into that verse has a bass line, the same word, slinky. Like it just has this real groove to it. And yeah, I don't care what shoe I'm wearing. I want to dance.
It makes, the melody and the bass line really makes me want to dance. And I love the call and response vocals, the male and female vocals. So many of these songs are them kind of shouting together. And I like that this one's a little bit more playful. It made me think of like the B-52s. And also his much more flat delivery is a little bit different. And the voice is going through, it sounds like some kind of distortion box.
Yeah, I mean, you're going back to the classic reference of the B-52s. To me, this feels like a little bit like a more recent band. Wet Leg has the similar kind of call and response playfulness. Obviously, this is less gender specific, but it has that lightness and silliness. And even I think like musically, this sort of the instrumentals in this feel kind of like a Wet Leg single. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, this is, I think, my favorite song on this record. It's just so fun. And even though I don't quite understand the references, I still get what they're trying to say. And it's funny and playful. And it's got a great beat, great bass line, and a great melody.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this was the second single. And I think it's a great choice because I don't know that it's the best song on the record, but it's the song that when I heard the single, I'm like, oh, I want more of this.
Yeah.
So from that, we go to this next song, which is, to my mind, extremely retro in the best possible way. It's called Better Than Good.
That over-enthusiastic salesman sucks. To be wasted on everybody. Oh no, you can't get better than good. You can't get better than good. Nothing's really, really good because you can't get better than good. This solo better be good.
Jokiness of these songs, there is some real feeling that comes through, and that's what I get from this song. It's kind of like an apathetic sort of feeling of not really being able to generate enthusiasm.
Yeah, there's this real sense of someone whose self-image is out of whack, where there's these bits about like, I'm so interesting, I'm this mystery wasted on the world, I'm so compelling, and then just completely undercut by like, yeah, I'm such an avid diarist, but nothing's happening. And yeah, that the pages are empty, the pages are empty, the pages are empty. It's just this mantra, and it is funny and heartbreaking.
And the percussion sounds almost like when you'd have those Casio keyboards and one of the preset selections for beat. It's got this weird electronic feel to it.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't quite tell whether it was that or just a super lo-fi recording of a tambourine, because this was, to me, between that percussion and the guitar sound, is just like, hey, let's do a Velvet Underground cover and nail it. Like, this feels, aside from the like the very Britishness of it and the, you know, the modern silliness of it and the reference to 1991, I feel like it would fit in that songbook. And I think there's a lot of these songs do bring in a lot of different kind of sonic styles. And this one feels the most kind of anchored in this very 70s New York to me. And it's great. They can do that. It's a very, for such a kind of jokey band, they have a lot of range.
It kind of reminds me of Cheekface, who we've seen at South by Southwest a couple times now, who I find very entertaining. And their songs are jokey, but the songwriting is really great, and there is real emotion behind it.
Yeah, those the bands where you're shocked, like, oh wait, these guys rock. Mm-hmm. But I think these guys are not hiding it as much in terms of, yeah, these guitar solos are top notch throughout. I think this song maybe a little less, but even so, that guitar solo, he says, guitar solo better be good, and it was pretty good. And yeah, but it is, yeah, it's the closest to, yeah, a kind of, hey, we're going to be serious now for this record.
Yeah, and they're pulling in so many different influences. Like, it's garage rocky, but there's some real muscly guitar in there, and then some very pop sensibilities to it, and then these elements that are a little kind of like off the wall, like the percussion in that track. Yeah. And then all undercut by this bouncing bass line that really makes it all feel like it's got a groove. I think Sam Willett eventually or originally started. Did I say his name wrong?
I think it's Wilmette.
Wilmette, sorry. started a band originally with his brother playing blues music, and it does have a bit of that blues feel, the bass.
Yeah, there's some bluesiness to this, although I do appreciate, we can play all the songs, but there's one that's like, it's very nearly metal in a way that's like, okay, you guys can do that too. It's fun.
So the last song we're going to play is the title track. It's called The Intricate Inner Workings of the System, and we've been talking about the Welsh band The Bug Club, their third album of the same title, their first for Sub Pop. And just as a reminder, they're playing in San Francisco October 21st at the Kilowatt, so definitely go see them. So we're going to go out with that last song. Again, you've been listening to For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
It's late. The pennies are good. They're turning all the babies into animal food. It's big. Much bigger than you. So shut your silly mouth, because there's nothing you can do about the system. The bloody system. The intricate inner workings of the system. The system. The bloody system. The intricate inner workings of the system. The world is spinning sideways, and every other planet goes to church on Saturdays. The pearls that my mother gave to me when I got married to a lovely lady are gone. 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 The system. The bloody system. The intricate inner workings of the system, the system. The bloody system, the intricate inner workings of the system. It's criminal, it's really quite mad. I don't want to live with my parents until I'm dead. I'm 30 fucking years old. I just want a nice semi-detached bungalow in South East Wales. I just want a nice semi-detached bungalow.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.